Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fancy graphics. You're here with Bar Down Breakdown, just loving the fanciness. That was a little blurb from our homies in Out of Time. We talk about them like all the freaking time, so hopefully you enjoyed that 1 minute blurb. It's a great song. So we are here with John and James Nassau Men. What's going on, gentlemen? Hey, real quick before we get started, did you know, little piece of history, that our combined heights, all four of our heights together, put together, would still not eclipse that of one newest Islander signing, Zdeno Chara, who, little did you know, 20 feet tall and just as old. So
I was just going to say,
how excited. We're 22 feet tall. That guy is so tall.
I don't know that to be exactly true, but... I will tell this story that I had a magazine as a kid from the era that when he got drafted, and he was the centerfold image. And so you turned it, and then they had a little flap at the top that you had to flip up still to just emphasize the point of how tall he was. And there was a ruler next to him, and it was like 6'9".
Yeah, from what I hear, that Lou Lamoriello like had this planned like 6 years in advance or something, because that's kind of what he does. And when they were building UBS, they were like, we got to build it 15 feet taller just to put Chara inside of the building. So
yeah, he has his own locker room stall, I bet. It's already
great,
done.
Man. He like, you know, he can't even like zip line in from the top like Shawn Michaels did in like WrestleMania in like 1996, because he touches the ceiling. So it's great. I'm stoked to have him, but I'm stoked to have you guys on the podcast. It's been a long freaking time coming. So it's pumped time all the time for you guys to be on here. So let's just like kind of dive right in. So for those of you who have not had an opportunity to check out your podcast, just give us a little bit of insight on like what you guys are doing.
John, do it. Go ahead.
No, I was pointing towards you. You're the personality of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. He likes to say that I'm the Steve Dangle of the podcast, because I get all, you know, high and mighty sometimes. No. You know, we're once a week, every week, you know, dabbling with the idea of going live at, you know, post games and breaking news and stuff. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, Nassauman Hockey Podcast. We can be found on all your podcasting platforms. You can follow us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. All socials. So we're all over. Once a week, we get into some deep analysis on, you know, what's happened in the previous week as far as games, any breaking news, any trades and stuff like that. And then, you know, like I said, we're still dabbling with the idea of doing live post game reactions and breaking news stories and stuff like that. So
they were popular during the playoff run.
Yeah,
we had a lot of people kind of jump on after the games. Then we just posted as a podcast, and it still had a, you know, pretty good listenership, I think.
Yeah,
which was,
so you guys are a Rangers podcast, right?
Yeah. Yeah, New York. Yeah, Rangers,
you can't you can't see it, but all this stuff and, that I'm looking at is all Rangers.
This
stuff.
Flag I have here is yep. fake. It changes actually.
All right, just wanted to clarify.
Very good. Yeah.
So I guess tell us the story of how you guys linked up, because I listened to your podcast. I don't remember you guys ever really diving too much into like the history, the
origin story,
the origin.
So it's really interesting. So we. Although James doesn't anymore, and I'll let him tell you where you can find his new material. I'm not going to break that. And this actually, he's put it on Twitter. Yeah, he put it on Twitter. But for your listeners, it'll be for Islander fans anyway. It'll be cool news. But I started writing for the Hockey Writers a number of years ago, and all of a sudden James' name pops up in the chat. I'm like, why do I know this name in Slack? So I go into my Gmail, and I already had his email. It turned out we had written together at Isles Insight. Yeah. Which is the crew that was at Eyes on Isles even before that, with Andy Graziano and Joe Pantorno, who's made a name for himself, Scott Charles, even Andy himself has been a number of people from that crew. So apparently Jay and I knew each other from even a previous life for that. And then we hooked up at the Hockey Writers. And I think one right after another, I couldn't tell you who first. We were both like, we want to start a podcast. Who wants to do it? And then we just answered each other's message. And here we are.
It was a match made in heaven.
it was. I joke that we're perfectly combined here. We both have very different skills, I think.
Yeah.
And kind of bring it to the show and behind the scenes, in the scene, like all that kind of stuff, like in front of the camera, all that. It works out pretty well.
So, John, I feel like you and I are very similar to what we bring to our podcast, which is just beautiful beards and good looks.
Where that's what I was just gonna say, just rugged handsomeness.
Yeah. So I know what that's like, John.
Yeah, it's a heavy weight to bear. It could be a struggle at times, but
yeah. Ask Mikey to pronounce one Russian hockey player's name. Go ahead. One.
Say Chara's first name.
Zdeno.
You got it.
Zdeno.
You can't even see. You can't.
It sounds like an Italian restaurant. Yeah, I'm over at Zdeno's on.
Hey, I'm got fighting. The Zdeno's and a mussels in a sauce.
But this guy can't even say Lou Lamoriello's last name. You hear him say Lamoriello.
You threw an extra I in there.
Yeah.
Lamoriello.
Yeah.
What's the rest of your last name? You got a vowel at the end of that name?
Italians like to add as much as they can into their name. So, you know, if I spoke to him in person, he would be really pumped. He'd be like, thank you for all the extra vowels and syllables. He'd be all about it.
That was that's what's going to be missing from his Hall of Fame speech, is somebody just adding vowels to his name, I'm sure.
Give me money. I'll do it. But yo, so, okay, let's just like get into some Islanders talk. So, we've got.
I was pumped for the music stuff. We're doing Islanders talk first.
We'll get to music stuff for sure. Okay. And see, I'm the music guy for the most part. So if I can get like my like three or four Islanders talking points in, it'll be fair. Great. So people will think that like I actually know what I'm talking about, which is awesome.
You're not just wearing the hat.
No, I mean it's someone gave me this hat. I don't even know what this means, but so we're fast approaching the season. We've got a couple of weeks to go, and then we're gonna have some real hockey going on. So. Islanders Twitter is one of those crazy places, right? Where there are always different ideas.
No. Tell us about that. No, what is that?
So Tom doesn't even dabble in it.
You think I don't, but I do. I just don't contribute to it. I just watch it from afar.
So you are the white SUV or whatever, the Isles SUV.
He's one of those accounts that are constantly yelling at me whenever I announce some sort of news.
Exactly.
That's
what I do. But so, you know, you'd kind of like to think that maybe there's one, you know, one big move left. But then again, maybe there isn't. But, you know, since you guys probably have a little bit more insight and are kind of connected to it a bit more than I might be, what are we thinking? Do we think that there's another big move out there, or are we thinking that, you know, we're we're going into the season with what we got.
Jay, what have we been saying?
Since July. I think it is what it is right now. I think the roster you see is what's going to be on the ice October 14th. You know, Chara will likely play, now that he's an Islander, he'll probably play a role where he plays every other night. I don't know if I see him playing 82 games. He'll likely rotate in. Maybe Andy Green rotates in as well. Let's see if Gustafson, you know, wins a contract. You could see one of the kids in Salo or Bolduc rotate in, maybe get the Dobson treatment from two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. I think really what Lamoriello has set himself up for right now is he's got some flexibility because, you know, he's got a little bit of change in his pocket going into the season. And if they need to make a move at the deadline or something like that, he's setting himself up for that kind of a situation. So I think from, you know, for the beginning of the season, at least, I think Chara will be just fine. Filling in for, you know, whether it's on the second pair or the third pair, we'll see how the pairings line up. But I think the top six on defense is set. They've got depth. I mean, they got a ton of forwards, so there's not really any more room for forwards. Mm-hmm. As for defensemen, they still have Hickey and Aho, and some of those kids are waiting to get their shot. Salo's come over from the SHL, and Bolduc impressed last season. I think the organization would like to have those kids get some more time. And that makes Chara the perfect stopgap. And you know, Andy Green's got another season with the Islanders, and he was, you know, perfectly fine in an 56 game season. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was going to last that long, but he's a horse. He can do it. So, yeah, I think we're going to go into the season knowing with the roster that we are seeing projected now. Mm-hmm. And if there's a move, it'll probably be, you know, a deadline move or someone gets hurt, you know, at that time.
So, in researching a recent article that I did, Chara actually played more minutes a night than either Dobson or Green. Yeah, so he's capable of doing it.
18 minutes on average.
Right. So my guess up front is maybe they treat the second and third pairing the same, and they kind of put them out. They lean a little heavier on Pulock if they can. They have to kind of put Mayfield and Green out together at times to kind of continue to shelter Dobson a little bit, shelter Chara at times. That might work out. Gustafson would be a seventh defender. Yes. If they need an injury, or they need, look, Green's going to be 39, Chara's 44. I don't see them playing. I don't know about every other night, as Jay said, but I don't see them playing every single game. So you do need someone to kind of come in here and there and skate. Obviously, Aho and Hickey don't seem to have that trust from management or coaching, which is disappointing because Hickey played such a big role in this team a number of years ago. That first Tampa series in whatever year that was, 2016. And so I have a feeling that someone needs to be a seventh defender. They might be happy with that. A lot of the underlying numbers, Chara is actually not that far off from Letty. It's obviously a different player. I think it's going to be a change in what the defense plays like. You're not going to have that smooth skating guy to get the puck out of the zone. You are going to need to rely on your forwards to be able to skate the puck out when they need to. So it's going to look a little bit different. There's going to be some growing pains, I think, in us trying to figure out what it's going to be long term. I'm not sure. I don't think they have the room, like literal room on the roster to have somebody have adoption treatment. It's possible if they can bury enough, they can just throw everyone down. Everyone that was signed recently is all two ways, it looks like.
Yeah.
So that's nothing to worry about. But so you kind of have to figure things out from there.
You mentioned some possible line combinations. So I was kind of salivating at the thought of Chara and Mayfield. I feel like they would be like the Bash brothers, or they're just slimy. No one would want to play against them. Like I was really excited about that possible combination.
Go ahead, Joe.
I think that's the pairing. I don't think it's all the time. I think you're gonna I think you're gonna shelter Chara and Dobson.
It's interesting, you know. When I tweeted initially, I said, you know, you could see a Chara Mayfield pairing. I was basically lashed, but you know, it's very well possible. I think
what
you know,
the fuck is this guy drinking over here? Sorry,
it's iced tea. Yeah,
out of a vase? What
no,
is
it's like a, that? No, it's like a mason jar. Dude, these things are fucking dope. I got six of them for $12 on the Wayfair machine. It's awesome, dude.
Sorry to cut you off, James, but sometimes it just does something ridiculous.
I saw it and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to
like casually drink out of that thing. Like, it's not ridiculous.
Bro, you drink kombucha out of the same shit. Don't start with me.
Anyway, no, you know, I think Chara and Mayfield is definitely a pairing you could see. I think Mayfield's skating is underrated. He sometimes shows these flashes of potential of moving the puck. We all saw that goal he scored against the
so
Lightning.
Good.
In the third round last season, so in the postseason, so I think he's underrated on his skates. But at the same time, it also wouldn't surprise me if Dobson got a promotion if he saw second line minutes or second pairing minutes. Chara's got a history of playing with young guys. You know, when Charlie McAvoy broke into the league, that's who he played with, Zdeno Chara. So. You could see him playing with Dobson, and maybe Dobson, you know, adopts that Letty role. And
Chara and Green could swap. I could see that.
Yeah, and I think Mayfield would be perfectly fine playing with Andy Green. So I don't see any issues in those pairings either. You know, and like I said, Dobson could adopt that Nick Letty role, move the puck a little bit. You know, they're going to want Noah Dobson in his third season to evolve, and that might be what it is more minutes and being more of that puck moving defenseman that he has the ability to be. He was that player in juniors and he's was drafted to be that guy eventually. And I think this is the year that he takes another step.
And they might do be comfortable bringing in Chara after having traded Letty because they feel Dobson can kind of get into that role, similar to on the offensive side of things with Wahlstrom.
Exactly.
You don't necessarily need to make a big move. They just need to make sure they can fit everyone, have good lines. You bring in Parise, even if you lose that, you get Lee back. Wahlstrom can be your guy. You can, he could score. I mean, you said you think he could pot 30. I think he was easily a 20 goal guy last year.
Yeah. He scored at a 22 goal pace. So, yeah, these young guys, they need to be given a chance. And you know, teams around the league, you know, they give the young guys chances. And at 20, 21 years old, they're impact players. So, it's not really the MO of Lamoriello and Trotz to let the young guys play, but with the times and the flat cap and restrictions on money, you might have to give them that chance.
Hey, and I like how you mentioned how Lou still has a little pocket, you know, money in his pocket for that trade deadline because, you know, depending on how this season plays out, you know, we're expecting to be at the top half of the Metro. So, you know, going after another, you know, Kyle Palmieri type player, you know, I don't study who's going to be possibly available at the trade deadline, but like someone like that, like a big ticket name to just, you know, as a rental and just get us over that hump, man. That's huge, especially if we don't miss anyone, like any major part of our team due to injury.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know who that might be. I don't know.
It depends. Some of those teams on the bubble, those ninth and tenth place teams, you never know who's going to make people available.
Yeah,
so it's anyone's guess right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, this whole offseason was about are the Islanders going to get Vladimir Tarasenko? And apparently, according to Andy Strickland today, he looks incredible in camp. And of course, you know, who wouldn't look incredible that. You know, where when a team wants to trade the guy away, he looks amazing. He's he's the best player. He's going to score 50 goals. But you know, if he is in fact healthy and he can prove himself maybe in a couple of games this season, you know, maybe they circle back to that. I know Johnny Gaudreau's contract is coming to an end with the Calgary Flames. So if they don't take a step in the right direction in Calgary, maybe he's a guy that they look to. So a couple names that could be available.
They're all about fit though, I think. And that's what makes it really hard, right? Like you don't know what these guys are like in the room. What's their reputation around the league? And that's been a very clear factor for this administration.
Yeah. I think the big thing for me, you know, looking at this season I'm beating the Oliver Wahlstrom drum. I really am. It's a huge year for him. And if he can prove himself as a bona fide goal scorer in this league, listen, he was on a 22 goal pace last season. It was his first full season, and it wasn't even a full one. in 40 something games, he was going to have scored 22 goals. I think if he gets a shot at playing with Barzell, you could see him score 30. And suddenly the need for another offensive player is no longer there.
They don't need a big goal scorer. They need balance.
Yes, they're pretty stacked at forward. So in my opinion, my early bold prediction, you might see a guy like Ekholm with Nashville be the guy on defense who Lamoriello acquires to solidify that blue line. We're talking about 45-year-old Zdeno Chara, soon to be 40-year-old Andy Green. That might be the move at $3.5 million and 31 years old, with Nashville, kind of having a what's going to happen with them this season. Nobody really knows. They're either, they're in a weird, awkward transition period.
Yeah.
They're either going to be good or they're going to be really bad. So it really depends on how it stacks up for them.
All right. I love to hear these predictions that at the end of the day might be absolutely just hogwash and not really anything, but this is what's fun about being a fan and being a diehard fan of a certain team is just having these conversations. I love them, but I do want to kind of just peel it back even more to talk about you guys, because that's really why we got you on here. So, John, I know you are in Syracuse now, and yeah. James, you're on Staten Island. So I guess walk me through your fandom, because at the end of the day, yeah, you guys write about the Islanders and you talk about the Islanders, but you guys are also fans of the Islanders. So I'm just like curious about your story as fans. So I guess we could start with you, John, because that's kind of interesting to me since you're in Syracuse, New York.
Well, I'm from Long Island originally. So I grew up there. I went to Sachem High School. I won't say which one, although it's not hard to look up. But yeah, I grew up on Long Island. I started going to games, I want to say 95 or so. My grandpa took me to my first game. Thinking back, I wish I remembered a little bit more about them, because I'm pretty sure it was like the Penguins, which means Lemieux was there. I might have been one of the first seasons with Carolina. I've seen the Sabres. It was like the really early years. So I've been a fan forever. As a matter of fact, I had a neighbor that loved Darius Kasparaitis, and he would always wear his Islanders gear. And he actually gave me all these magazines from like that mid 90s fisherman years and the 25th anniversary, the silver anniversary editions of everything. So they're somewhere at my mom's house on Long Island now. But he loved Kasparaitis and he had all the fisherman gear. So I loved it all, just cause he was a few years older than me. And I just kind of like looked up to him, and, I actually keep in touch with him here and there. I still bug him for a fisherman Kasper jersey, that he's not covered. Yeah, absolutely. And he's never going to sell it to me, and I bug him all the time. And like when I talk to him at the end, I'm always like, yeah, sell me that jersey. And he had like a pink aluminum Nike stick too that I really wanted, which wouldn't do me any good. I'm sure it's like a junior or something. But yeah, that's where the fandom started. And then I moved to Syracuse. I went to SUNY Oswego. And then I stuck around afterwards after my graduate degree, and been here ever since.
All right. Most people don't stick around, especially when you're from Long Island, where it's a little more, I guess, desirable of a place, and also less gray and snowy and miserable all the time.
I mean, it's a beautiful place to live. Not to just go right the opposite of what you're saying. I think it's a beautiful place to live. I'm an outdoorsy. I became an outdoorsy person. I like going on hikes. I can kayak wherever I want. I can ride my motorcycle and not get killed. A lot less likely to be killed here, I guess. it's open. It's cheap to live here. Your goal after college is to move out, and it was easy to do that here. I didn't need a big fancy job. I could just move out, and I was living in Brooklyn before that. Actually, right before the Islanders moved to Barclays, I was down the street working between Dean and Bergen on Vanderbilt as they were building it. And it was just I moved up here and I stayed, and for love, because that always works out. And then afterwards, like, I just stuck around and I was like, wow, I actually do kind of like this stuff. I do like being outside and being within an hour of, like, I can go skiing in the winter and I can whatever. So it's Yeah, I've liked living here. It's a small community. We'll talk about the music. I know you're gonna bug me about that a little bit. But yeah, I think I love Long Island, but I don't know that I'm in love with it anymore. I moved when I was 17 and I'm 30, yeah, or about to be 31. So it's been a long time and I haven't been an adult there. So I get to go home and I'm a kid. I eat all the carbs ever.
Yeah.
Like I'm training for a race and go to the beach or see family or friends or whatever that are still around. And, I like it. It's good to be, I'm a 6-hour car ride. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. That's kind of the prevailing factor that, you know, kind of comes into play when a lot of people talk about leaving Long Island. You know, it's Long Island is a great place to a fault. You know, when you go back to Long Island, sometimes you see some things that you hadn't seen in the past. You know, I always thought Long Island to be like a very, very liberal place, you know, when I was growing up. And then I go to Orlando, which is like a really liberal place. And then I go back to Long Island and I realize that, like, holy shit, man, it's like, it's boomer central on Long Island. And there's a lot of...
It's something. I don't know if we're getting that deep into it. James is like, he's waiting for me to get on my soapbox.
I'm on my way. I gotta go, guys.
Yeah, he's heard enough about this. Well, it's funny. Like we were a little worried. We had Chris Dose from Anti-Flag on, and I know both of you know exactly who that is and sure, where he stands on things. And we're like, oh man, like hopefully people stick, because that was really early in the show. And if we had a bad reaction from that, that could have been it. But you know, and I keep saying stuff and we've kind of, I don't want to say we, I don't think we're pushing anything. I think I'm being genuine, with it's, this is what I believe to be the right thing to a large degree. And I don't know, people, they fast forward. If they hear me getting on the soapbox, I'm sure they skipped like his commercial.
I mean, we've done it too on our podcast. Like, you know, we try not to be partisan, but like there are things that Mikey and I are both like-minded on and they've come out in our podcast just because they're important. You know, we've talked about, you know, on a couple of episodes, you know, the importance of inclusivity in hockey, and we've hammered that point away many a time. And whether that's turned people off, to be honest, I don't really give a shit. Like, if you are listening to our podcast and you don't jive with that and you have a problem with that, don't fucking listen to our podcast. Go listen to a fucking Tony D'Angelo be an asshole. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. And we've done that, and we tried. We actually had a conversation, Joe Pantorno, who is the official third member of the show, and mm-hmm. Jay and I talked about that. Like, how do we be more conscious about our language on the show?
Yeah.
How do you just say players instead of guys? It's hard. I still do it all the time.
Sure.
And yeah.
It's, me too. But it's important to be conscious about that kind of stuff. Inclusive, you know, do the Black Girl Hockey Club pledge. Mm-hmm. And it's accountability. And I think it's as people. I've started to, if I hear something, I'm like, that's not nice. I know it's, and that's kind of what it, I don't know how else to say it. I'm not going to tell you you're a jerk and that you're an idiot for believing these. He's like, that's not nice. Like, you can't just be like, oh, herd immunity and we're going to, everyone should just die. That's not the right, you know, you got to know that's not nice. Yeah. That's not a good thing. You wouldn't say that about most, well, maybe they would. You shouldn't say that about most things, right? So
agreed. And it just, it really was just like kind of an eye-opening thing. You know, I was just back on Long Island like 3 weeks ago for a buddy of mine's wedding. And, you know, like it just, it kind of like hits you right in the gut when you kind of see these. And even though I'm only about 5 years removed from Long Island, I mean, it's still like that 5 years of removal just kind of like punches you in the gut sometimes, because you see all these things that you maybe didn't think you were seeing 5 years ago, or you just didn't see 5 years ago. But
the lens of which we look through things now is just different. We're much more aware of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even, thinking about junior high and things mm-hmm. like that and the things we were saying and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, where we even kind of knew it was wrong then and we shouldn't. Yeah. And I feel gross about it,
mm-hmm.
but we grew and we adapted and things changed.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's tough, but I'll give the floor to James so he can talk about being from Staten Island.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that too, because I know Staten Island is...
That's weirder than Syracuse. Like, you got to know that.
Staten Island is typically Rangers country. So
yeah, tell me about it.
Tell me, you know.
No, tell him about it. That's what he's asking.
Growing up as an Islander fan on Staten Island.
Yeah, I think my dad was a front runner. You know, he grew up in the 80s, and you know, that's when the Islanders were winning, and so were the Cowboys, and coincidentally he's a Cowboy fan, and so were the Yankees, and coincidentally he's a Yankee fan. So I am too, all of those things minus the Cowboys. I just couldn't, I don't know, fathom that. But you know, I grew up playing hockey. I got my first pair of skates when I was 3 and never left the ice, so fell in love with the game. You know, my dad's probably more of a baseball fan than he is a hockey fan, but he is also, you know, he's a hockey head like I am. But I fell in love with the game more as an Islander fan. And, you know, growing up watching the Islanders, there was a lot of exciting moments. And I still remember being in my living room, you know, because I couldn't go to the game watching Sean Bates score that penalty shot. And you know, my dad's friends were over, and I was just watching everybody go crazy about it because my dad's friends are all Ranger fans. And, you know, they just loved watching a good hockey game anyway. And we actually had just come back from the park from playing hockey on Blades. And they're all, you know, giving my dad a, you know, shit about, you know, the Islanders winning that game and everything. And it was just a great time. And I just fell in love with that atmosphere. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, like, this is in my house. You know, when you get to the state, the arena and the crowd, I love that, you know, that roar of the crowd as well. And just playing the game, I love the reaction from the other bench and everything like that. So I fell in love with the game. I fell in love with the Islanders. And then, you know, when it came time to think about what I wanted to do with my life, I was like, well, why not just, you know, make this what I want to do in my life? I'm not going to play for them because I'm not nearly that good, but I could write about them. You know, I was pretty good in English class. I could take a couple journalism courses, and sure enough, I did that. And, you know, now here I am today, where all my friends on Staten Island hate me because I am an Islander fan and an Islander writer. But they're, you know, good support because, you know, at now being where I'm at, they're all happy to see, you know, that I cut through the noise and was able to get where I am now. So, but John makes fun of me all the time. He tells me, you know, I'm gonna drown you in garbage water because he's like, yeah. I can see the dump from outer space. Like, it's not even here anymore.
Well, tell everybody where they can find your work now.
Yeah. So as of last Friday, Friday,
at 3:18 p.m. Eastern time.
I literally John was my first call after I accepted the position.
Not even his wife.
Not even my wife. It was John first. You can now find me working with David Pagnotta and the Fourth Period.
Unbelievable.
Hey, so,
are you
congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Are you still doing the teaching gig then, or is it gonna take up more time?
It's in a part-time capacity right now. We talked about the possibility of other things in the future. Still teaching kids on Staten Island. In fact, I was there today, and you know, it's interesting being back in the building with all the kids. But yeah, I mean, you know, listen, teaching is a great great career, and I do love it. But I don't love it as much as I love this. Like, when I'm not doing that, this is all I'm thinking about. I'm only thinking about, you know, what's going on in the news. You know, what's the next email I'm going to get for what I have to report? What's the next thing I'm going to write? What's the next transaction? Like, I'm just so claws deep into this that although I do love teaching, pretty soon I'm hoping that it's going to be a thing of the past for me, and I'm going to be doing this full time.
Hopefully no one that you work for is listening to this show. Be a hell of a resignation.
It's secure enough where I could say that kind of thing, and if it
happens, they're Ranger fans, so that's
and that too, they're Ranger fans. So if they haven't fired me already,
the top 40, so they're definitely not listening to this podcast. Well, before we actually do move into some music talk, let's just take a quick breather to hear from our sponsor, and we'll be back on the other side if I can find the video that I'm going to play. All right, so here's a quick word from our sponsors at DraftKings, and we'll be back in a minute or so.
Week 2 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any Week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings has given all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total cash prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
So you could definitely tell right when I got to like the call action, I was so out of breath. I was like puffing my inhaler at the same time. It's tough.
Dude, your belly
leaves me hanging.
Who is that background music? I want to take a guess.
Take the guess.
I couldn't really tell. Was it We Are the Union?
Close, no. But not. It's this band Keep Flying, who it just so happens to be that their horn player was in We Are the Union for a short spell, but they're called Keep Flying and they're pretty
interesting.
Dope.
Yeah. I was like, that would be a name drop. I haven't thought about that band in forever. I was like, damn, that sounds a lot like them.
We Are the Union is actually, I think they have some new music coming out, which is like their first in a couple of years, which is kind of cool. But yeah, real quick before we dive into that, you know, it's weird. This got very meta. We're like peeling the onion back, talking about our ad read that just happened, but like everyone needs to think that our ad read is happening in real time. But now you're telling everybody that it, or like you recorded it. So it's like kind of like breaking the fourth wall a little bit. So I don't know if you should do
I didn't
that.
Know. I don't know. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not talking about you. No, I'm talking about Mikey. You're fine.
Dude, you don't know what was going on behind that silver DraftKings screen. I was reading that whole thing live.
we did that too for a while. That just changed.
Yeah,
we had done it. We had we never did. We were,
and now we have two, so it's a disaster.
Yeah. So tell me about Manscaped. So what's going on downstairs? Is that are you guys actually?
Is your rocket ready for takeoff? I've never been more embarrassed. I have a lot of shame. I have a lot of shame. So that I sitting alone and doing that wasn't better than doing it live, because at least it felt like it was in the moment. I could forget about it. But then you're messing up when you're trying to record it and you have to say that over and over. We will say we're big proponents of the boxers.
They're fantastic.
I am wearing them as we speak. They are fantastic. Promo code 8, NHP20.
quick plug.
Love that. Plug.
But anyway, we can move on off that. It's hard, no pun intended, to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, if your grapefruits are in need of a shorning, Manscaped. You know, I've been getting all the.
What
funny.
A segue. Holy shit.
I've been getting these, like, we've been getting, like, a bunch of targeted ads for, like, a bunch of, like, testicle stuff between Manscaped and, like, these, like, shorts that don't chafe and, like, all this stuff. It's like, man, I didn't realize testicle care was that important until.
You don't realize it is until you have the product and you're like, wait a minute. Hold on.
I will absolutely say that. There's a few products that I've gotten recently. Actually, as a result of Mikey or whoever was behind the podcast account telling me that I should go after Everyman Jack, they had sent me some stuff too, and now I'm hooked on it.
Everyman Jack is so great. Good. Yeah, I love that
sandalwood.
Mm. Yeah, smells, man.
So good. Yeah.
It's they sent me some stuff, but now they have a customer for life.
I love that, man.
Love that.
But yo. So, speaking of testicles, right? I'm sure you guys have spent time in a mosh pit, right? You know, I'm sure both of you have, right? Have you ever actually like taken one to the nuts, like while dancing? Because I have. Yeah. I'll tell you the story. It's a short story because it took me.
We've been
right
talking
out of
a lot about balls, so.
I mean, it's a quick 20-second story. Fear Before the March of Flames, right during "Hey Kid on My Computer, Stop All the Downloading." Right as like the breakdown started, I went to like move backwards to like throw a backwards haymaker, and then the person in front of me just mule kicked me right in the testicles, and I went down right in the floor of the downtown. And that's my story.
That's fun.
So
I wish I was there.
Ah, well, you weren't, because Fear Before the March of Flames would have scared you then and probably now.
Definitely now.
So let's talk about that. So let's talk about, you know, growing up in New York, Long Island for most of us, you know, in that scene. I mean, it was a really deep, rich scene. I mean, you could talk about all the bands that came out of Long Island or all the bands that came to Long Island to play. But I mean, let's just kind of talk about that a little bit. You know,
we're going to talk about Silent Majority for the next 20 minutes. Everyone buckle up.
I am fine with that, dude. Silent Majority. So
there I go. I just got him going. And
so, with one, you know, band. So the funny thing about Silent Majority, or I shouldn't even say it's the funny thing. It's so like my introduction to Silent Majority was, of course, after Silent Majority was long gone.
Oh yeah. We're, you know, all too young. Yeah,
exactly. I'd been listening to, you know, Crime and Stereo and Glassjaw and like all these bands and like,
Latterman.
You know, and yeah, exactly. And they're all of their influences were Silent Majority. So I was lucky enough to, before it had closed down at Revolution, Silent Majority did a couple of shows. I think actually the one that they did that I was able to go to was for, you know, Rob McAllister, who was an Iron Cheek, who unfortunately passed away, and they did like a little benefit show for him, and Silent Majority played, and I got to see them, which was one of the coolest experiences of my life. But like, you know, I always think I'm old going to shows, but when I went to that Silent Majority show, I was the youngin, and that's,
oh yeah, you can definitely,
very interesting thing. But Silent Majority, yeah, I mean, incredible band. Yeah,
I saw Crime and Stereo. Talk about, well, I'm gonna double up on this. Mm-hmm. I saw Crime and Stereo do Life of a Spectator.
Oh yeah,
at 89 North.
89 North, yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Just to double down on the Long Island hardcore scene. And the Movie Life guy was there. I can't remember his name.
Vinny.
Yeah. Vinny, he was there. Who tweeted at me about the Syracuse band that I can't even remember who that was?
That'd be me. Probably Mikey. Tom don't tweet. So let's talk about the Syracuse scene as well, because the only band I could think of was Honor Bright, which was on Triple Crown Records. When I was going to SUNY Cortland, they were like kind of the local Syracuse band. So whenever I went to a show in the Syracuse market, they were always opening. So I've seen
what year was that?
So
years were that?
I was at SUNY Cortland from 2005 until 2009.
God, that wasn't a bad time around here. You got to. I also wanted to counter with a Long Island band that I feel is kind of the equivalent in patent pending.
Mm-hmm. Ah, man, patent pending.
So it's immediately who I thought of. I was like, I need to counter with something, and I feel like
patent pending ended up like kind of being a breakout Long Island band. Like they ended up kind of getting a little bit of traction and were able to tour the country. And
they were playing shows when I was playing shows in high school.
Yeah,
at like East Isop Lanes.
Oh yeah,
and Tracks and Ronkonkoma. Mm-hmm. And stuff like, I was trying to think of this today actually, because I was like, I don't want to stumble over myself.
So what Long Island band were you in?
Not, it was just like a really crappy like garage band that we do like battle the bands at Tracks and play at 1 p.m. at an empty bar.
But what year, like what years was this?
Oh, like 05 to 08.
Okay, so yeah, what band was it?
It was, I don't even want to say because it's embarrassing.
Okay.
Just say it.
It still exists. It was, so this is 2005, whatever, however old we were. So it's called Strange Generation. And we wanted to be this weird blank Green Day thing. This is like, we listened to all like Fat Records bands in high school and stuff like that. Anti-Flag, NoFX, whatever. And then obviously, you know, I love Travis Barker because that was who you loved in 2013.
So did I.
If you were a budding drummer, that's really close.
So real quick, let's have a local Long Island band 2-minute penalty box session here, because you were in a Long Island local band around the same time that I was in a Long Island local band, and I guarantee you that there are bands through which our paths crossed. So I'm just gonna just launch a bunch at you, and you tell me if you remember them. So,
oh my god,
Jaded Waste, you remember them?
I don't. I feel like I'm gonna not be
good
okay. at this.
That's fine. Do you remember a band called A Bloodless Ambition?
No.
Okay, that's fair.
Madison
Prep was a Connecticut band, but they were always on Long Island.
No, they were on Long Island.
No, they were a Connecticut band. I'm pretty sure. But okay.
On the Google machine. Mikey's going.
I'm going.
Yeah. No, I mean, go for it. Pretty sure they're from Connecticut. Let's see. You were out in Suffolk?
Yeah. I can't even remember who we played with that. Like, we played at Tracks a bunch. Like I said, East Ice of Lanes sticks out to me as mostly the bowling.
So East Ice of Lanes was interesting, because East Ice of Lanes, the guy that ran those shows, was a very good friend of both of ours. His name was John. Well, his
he had
name is
big,
John.
He had huge gauges. He would, every time we would play, like in between a song, he would just yell, "Play Raining Blood."
I think you might be thinking of Charlie Mertens, because he was there helping run Stangle shows, but he had the gauges. But then again, you might be thinking of JJR, Madison Prep, band from Long Island. Ah, dude, I don't know. I thought they were from Connecticut, but anyways, I'm sorry. Fine, whatever, you win. But
nice.
So the great thing about like all this these Long Island local bands and stuff is like it was such a scene that I was entrenched in. But like, you know, you have those handful of bands coming out of Long Island that really did big things. You know, talked about Crime and Stereo, obviously Silent Majority, Glassjaw, The Movie Life. But then, you know, you had some of the bands that were a little bit away from that more like punky sound, and we're a little bit more on that, you know, I guess emo wave. You know, you think you're Taking Back Sundays, you're Brand News, you're Envy on the Coasts, you know, you're
who played at the Coliseum? Like, didn't they do a music video at the Coliseum?
Oh, yeah. Envy on the Coast, yeah, they did. Our buddy
actually played Riot Fest 2 days ago, and they have a sweet guest feature with Anthony Green from Circa on it, and Anthony Green actually came out during those parts at Riot Fest, which I would imagine is probably the first time that's probably ever happened.
I thought Envy and Circa like toured.
Maybe in the very beginning of the days.
I thought they might have, but so he came out and sang on The Gift of Paralysis. That's super cool.
That's super cool.
I love festivals at this point. I don't like, do you guys remember like the first like kind of like punk rock festival that like you guys went to?
Claws Fest. I was like 12 years old. My dad was like, "We're gonna go to a show," and it was Puddle of Mud.
Ooh, okay.
It was the Offspring who absolutely stole the show. Chevelle wound up, and it was Claws Fest. So it was in December. Chevelle wound up not making it because they got stuck in a snowstorm, and I was super upset because I loved Chevelle then. I can't remember who the last band was, but it was a really, really good show. And I was like 12 years old. I was having the time of my life. And I just remember.
Is that like a Madison Square Garden show?
It was a Madison. No, it was a Hammerstein Ballroom.
Hammerstein? Okay.
Hammerstein
Ballroom. And I just remember after that, I turned to my dad. I was like, "Dad, I want to play the drums." And then sure enough, you know, ironically enough, John and I are both drummers. So,
From
then on, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why Syracuse band connection too is playing in Syracuse bands.
But I was in the Staten Island band scene for a little while. And that was out here, it was all hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, that was fun. That wasn't really my style. I like the pop punk, you know, I like the metal and everything like that. I'm a wide range of genres in rock and roll. I love, you know, I love the Beatles. I love Slipknot. I love Avenged Sevenfold. I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, I'm all over. and the band that I was in, they, I was the second drummer. So when I came in, everything had already been set in stone. And
so
they
you
tried
were just
heavily.
Learning stuff.
Yeah, and they tried heavily. Funny enough, talk about learning stuff. My first show, they told me 2 days before the show, they're like, hey, we need a drummer. Our guy had like a meltdown and quit on us. So I was like, no, true, no shit. No shit. Who doesn't do that in the music scene? Yeah. And, they were like, you think you could learn this list of songs in 2 days? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. Let me see it. I probably know most of them anyway. And he hands me this piece of paper, and it was like a scroll, and it just fell and hit the floor. And I was like, "What? There's 60 songs on here. How long is this show?" Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's like an all-day event, dude. And I'm like, all right, I know about 30 of them, but I need to learn 30 songs. And I learned 30 songs in 2 days. I had to be 18 years old. And, my mom at the time was like, are you going to leave the basement in these next 2 days? Because I was down there just learning songs for literally 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And then, I luckily didn't mess up too much. They wound up saying, hey, man, we really liked what you did. You want to be in the band? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we tried to I don't want to say reinvent the wheel, but we did a lot of. We were very Avenged Sevenfold-esque.
Okay.
Which is cool. True to my nature. I mean, I have a whole sleeve dedicated to them. And, that's my favorite drummers, Jimmy the Rev Sullivan. And that's mm-hmm. who I replicate my craft after. And ironically, he was replaced by one of my other favorite drummers from Long Island, Mike Portnoy, from Dream Theater. Yeah. So funny how all that comes full circle.
Here's my, I know a Long Island connection, a more modern connection. When I was playing in a band 4 years ago, when we were on tour, we played a few shows with Crash the Calm, who freaking rule.
Yeah. Great band, Crash the Calm. Yeah, for sure.
Good dudes. I listened after we were playing shows with them. I listened to that record a million times.
Now
it's so good.
They're good. They're, I mean, honestly, and to bring it full circle, like as far as Long Island bands are concerned, there's a lot of great bands on Long Island right now. There's a band called Somerset Thrower who are just like unbelievable, man. They kind of, to me, are sort of like one of those 90s alternative punk bands that would probably fit onto like a bill with like Sam I Am or Hot Water Music and are just fantastic. And then you've got
Dad Rock.
Yeah, kind of like Dad Rock, but more like punky Dad Rock.
I appreciate Hot Water Music the older I get.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But that's the way it goes. Like the more you want to go to Fest in Gainesville, the older you are, essentially, because like Fest is just like the ultimate like dad festival. It's just like the festival just takes over the whole like UF campus when all the UF students are away, and they're just like, yeah, $2 PBRs, and like seven bands are playing at seven different venues, and like you can walk to each venue and like watch a little bit of a show, and then like go like have a seat on a bench, and then go to another show, and then like
a bench.
Sit down, yeah, man. Dude, like
that was great.
Yeah, we got one important. Bench. That's their selling bench. Point. They have that on the flyer.
They got a bench. They got a hot dog cart. They've got a bunch of PBR.
Sold.
And most often they've got Hot Water Music, like almost every year, or Less Than Jake, almost every year. And it's just like a bunch of old sweaty guys just like singing A Flight and a Crash, New Remedy, and it's just great. Everyone's hammered.
Listening so to Caution, I can listen to Caution a million times. That whole record, front to back, every single time. It's so good.
You can, and so Long Island, but that's the thing. So you think Long Island is still crunching out those kinds of bands, Somerset Thrower, Iron Cheek, but then you've got bands like this great band Maxiel, who are like a newer emo band, like patterning themselves after like American Football and like all these bands. And it's just like, it's really cool to see that Long Island is still manufacturing great music. And like a lot of it's kind of happening in pockets. And, I think that's a great thing because Long Island just has such a pedigree, right? And even if it came out of 90s New York hardcore and evolved into whatever it did, it's just great. Saying you're from Long Island, at least, the whole brand new stigma is kind of starting to go away. Cause like for a while you were like, oh yeah, I'm from Long Island. They're like, oh, did you know Jesse? Like, did you see what he did? And it's like, yeah, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Turns out I'm not responsible for him or the 11 million other people on the sand dune.
I know. But that's the thing, man. You tell,
turns
you
out,
You're going to be shocked to hear this.
Oh, you're from Long Island? Do you know Teresa Del Judas, the medium? Have you ever gotten a reading? No, fuck no.
Yeah, we go to the same pizzeria.
Probably do, though.
Well, I was going to assume that James was just like best friends with Pete Davidson because he's from.
I'll tell you what. Too. I know him. See? I went to high school with him.
Really?
You know, yeah, I went to high school with him. He was a year younger than me, but you know, he was always
way funnier than James. That's what he's going to say.
He was always way funnier than me because I'm not. John's the funny one. I'm the.
Oh, I'm not the funny one. But.
but you know, he was a genuinely nice person, and he was always the way he is. You know how you see him on SNL and everything. That's Pete, and you know I'm not going to sit here and claim like, oh, we're best buds, but you know, I would see him in the hallway. I would say, what's up, you know, during high school and everything, you know, regular conversation. And he just, you know, like I said, was the way he was. And to see, you know, him come all this way is pretty spectacular. I love
Pete Davidson. I feel like I love him. I think he's hilarious. SNL.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though his role on SNL is so small, and at times it's like three or four episodes where he's not even on it, or like he's in the background of a skit or whatever. And it's just like when he does come back, he always just like makes a comment, like a snarky comment, how he's not really even on the show.
Yeah,
you know, Kate McKinnon is the jewel of that show.
Oh, I love Kate McKinnon.
She is awesome.
I love that about SNL just in general, about over, like through the years, you know, like cast members that were on every night, you know, every Saturday night through and through, as they started to get more and more popular, they start to like, they don't necessarily just leave Saturday Night Live. It's like you just get featured less and less because you got more going on. And then just all of a sudden someone kind of takes your position over and then you're just out there in Hollywood. But I just stumbled across, I mean, it's been out there for a long time, but I just stumbled across it. This video of like, I think it was like Chris Farley, David Spade, like a couple of people like in some restaurant in Manhattan. Like, I think like after like an SNL taping or something, like they all went out and like, you could tell like, Chris Farley, unfortunately, is like coked out of his skull, but he's just like being the archetypal Chris Farley, like in real life, like, you know, like something happened and like they ate all the bread and he just like turns around and he's like, more bread, like, come on, like, you know, like Chris Farley would do. And it's like, holy shit, like that's the Chris Farley I know and love. So I guess, you know, if Pete Davidson's much that way, I wonder what it would have been like to like go to school with Chris Farley, though. That would have been something else, man.
Unreal.
That'd be a trip.
We went to high school with no one cool.
No, we went to high school with the voice of Dora the Explorer. Come on.
That's cool.
Yeah, she did.
Come on, vamanos.
Yeah.
Mikey, I'm going to tie it back to Syracuse for you. And I'll answer your band question. I'll get through that with another Nickelodeon show. The voice of SpongeBob, Tom Kenny, played in a band in Syracuse called the Tearjerkers, which is the best name ever. Because I did a history of rock and roll exhibit when I worked at a museum on like Syracuse rock and roll history. And I met like his band members. They like came in and like had posters to give to us to like put on display in this exhibit. And I learned that about, I saw a picture really nice, like 18 by 24 of Tom Kenny on stage, like being the lead singer of a band. So voice of SpongeBob, bringing it back to Syracuse.
Okay.
The music scene in the, like, presumably like the 70s or 80s. But to answer your question from before, Syracuse bands, I mean, Polar Bear Club, I think people would say maybe it's Rochester.
I would say Rochester.
There's a big Syracuse connection with them. Another Breath that's probably one of my favorite bands. Go listen to God Complex right now. Stop listening to the show. and listen to that front to back. It's so good. Polar Bear Club, Another Breath. You know, If Hope Dies, they're like Auburn, but they were really big. One of those dudes tattoos me now. Thad. Yeah, he's super
like
cool.
They were like a kind of like a metalcore band, weren't they?
They were really big.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
I thought Ed Gein was from Syracuse too, like that grindcore
band. Ed Gein is here. Yeah, so that was I knew some guys that were like associated with that when I was playing in a band around here. Why am I blanking on Syracuse band? I mean, there's like Earth Crisis, that's like an obvious one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean the Syracuse punk scene's pretty cool. I can listen to like Syracuse or Long Island bands like exclusively. Yeah. Like there's enough of them that are that good. I mean, there's like Honor Bright, Jackson Kid Summer was really good. That's like early 2000s, maybe in the tens. I went to college with here you go. Nine Inch Nail, not Ice Nine Kills did okay. a song with Kate Ellen Dean, if you remember that. She was a lead singer of Jackson Kid Summer.
Mikey, Ice Nine Kills. So we've had Joe from Ice Nine Kills on the pod before. Which I was like, that was like before my time on the show. But Spencer from Ice Nine Kills is just like such a strange dude. I've like kind of been like obsessed with this like latest like reel of videos that they've put out, especially the one where they were biting off of American Psycho, because I love that movie. And I just watched an interview that he did, and man, he's such a wacky guy. He's really is such a wacky guy, but I think it's super cool. Like I said, just to kind of dive a little bit into music, but like before we kind of split, I want to talk a little bit about what Bar Down is really about, which is the connection between music and hockey. Just in so much as like alternative music, and at least in the United States, hockey kind of being sort of the alternative sport, I guess you'd call it, right? The parallels there are so huge, but you know, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but I just want to like kind of get your perspective on it, the both of you. But so there are so many alternative bands that love hockey or play in men's leagues or rep it, which I think is a great thing. But when you get into the locker rooms, like alternative music is like absent. It's like not there. I mean, like you could probably count on one hand, you know, the guys in the NHL that have like openly said like, oh, I like this alternative band, or I like this, you know, punk band or whatever. I just like, other than the fact that like, you know, half the locker room is Russian and Czech and they're all just weird as shit. Like, what are we missing? You know, like why is alternative music not like a bigger part of like the actual NHL?
Because the hockey itself is such a culture that you step into, and it's not anti, like punk is anti-culture. Mm-hmm. It's a movement away from that. Hockey is not about having it being an individual. It's about being part of the team. I don't think that's just part of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you're stepping into it, so it's hard to like bring something else. I think like a Jason Pominville, who I believe was in an Every Time I Die video, Decane for the Boys, yeah. Yep. Decane with the Boys.
Decane with the Boys, yeah.
You know, I think that's a, you know, one in whatever chance. Yeah. Like this is not happening all the time. I think, and punk lends itself to being to the left of things. And that is not necessarily what hockey culture is. So I think there's definitely kind of they're butting heads. That's just not something that's going to work. In theory, it should, but
yeah.
And the game's getting younger, you know, these younger guys in the leagues, it's the music culture now is not what it is or was when, you know, we were young guys in the game, and not to say that we're old, but the guys who are coming to the league now, I mean, but the guys coming into the league, they're 18, 19, 20 years old now. And, mm-hmm. you know, the music is all about, I can't even give you a list, 'cause I don't even know. It's Drake and whoever else after that.
Well, I mean, it's about like when you're 20 years old, I mean, you connect with music differently. I didn't get into hardcore until much later. Like I didn't get it. I wasn't ready for it. Mm-hmm. So some of this stuff might just not connect with them. They're also like, it's about struggle a little bit, not to say that they're not mentally struggling through stuff or whatever, because everyone kind of has their demons and this and that, but
yeah,
it's a little bit different. You know, you're playing a game for a living, you're making a lot of money. It's mm-hmm. not easy. I'm not gonna say that, but it's just a little bit different. Hockey's a lot about partying, and so hip hop and whatever electronic music kind of yeah. fits that bill. Like sure. when you're going out to a bar, they're probably not playing like Have Heart or something, which would be really fun. But
yeah,
you know sure what would. I mean? I mean, you do see like when I was in Trench in Syracuse and we were on tour, just like playing shows or whatever, there's always people with, like hockey hats on. Like there's a lot of fans. That yeah. connection makes sense as far as the people that are taking part in the culture, just not yeah, not always like who's in the band or who's in it on the hockey team or something like that. I just don't think it, for some reason, doesn't translate. It should make sense.
And as yeah. I think it's just, you know, country music is so huge in Canada too that
I think
that's kind of the main genre that these kids are listening to. I wouldn't even say it's necessarily like the trance or hip hop. It's predominantly country music
or whatever the tragically hip used to be. That kind of like indie, that's like they true. Like the city and yeah. city and color thing, tragically yep. hip stuff like that. I don't know a ton about, you know, bands coming out of there, but it's also hockey culture. So again, I think it's a lot of like whatever is going on in the bar scene, and that's where they're kind of hanging out.
It's just like,
yeah,
it's just wild to me that like an entire franchise wouldn't listen to like Alexis and Fire before they leave the locker room and like just start checking people into outer space. It's like, to me, that just kind of like seems like it needs to happen. It's just like, you know, when I think of like the Islanders' identity line, like I want them to all be listening to Hatebreed, and I want them to be listening to like Misery Signals, like before they step onto the ice and like physically break the ice. And like, that's what I want. But it's just like, I don't know what Matt Martin does. Like, I just imagine he like drinks milk and then like skates onto the ice like a fucking dummy. Like, I don't know, you know, but like
everyone gets like pumped up by different music. Like, I don't get that from hip hop, but I will get that from like, I don't know. I'm really big into Every Time I Die, like things like that. Like, I'll, you know, I can listen to Petal or one of those songs and just kind of, yeah, I guess that gets me going for sure. Knocked Loose or something like that, to, you know, yeah, a little bit like, I don't know. It doesn't click for everyone. They don't express that the same way. Hockey players do it through, they actually get to hit people for a living.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, questionable social choices and hitting people with a hockey stick for a living. I suppose that's how they get their kicks.
Hey, hell yeah.
So I have one final question for you, John. Does Funkin' Waffles still exist in Syracuse?
It does. So the original one closed on the hill. But there's Syracuse University. Sorry. That means nothing to anybody who doesn't live here. But there is one in Armory Square, which is like downtown Syracuse, the second location, which I played shows many a time and gotten 50% off chicken and waffles and a free beer, which is awesome. It still exists. Definitely go to there. It is delicious.
Go to there.
There is no better smelling venue in the whole entire United States. I can guarantee it. You walk in and it is the best. Like, it just hits you instantly and you're like, wait, thought I was here to see like a punk rock show. And
I played a show with Somos there.
Oh, so what a great band. Love
that Somos. That was our first show at the original Funkin' Waffles with Somos. And then we played Pine. They're really cool. And Nothing at the Bug Jar in Rochester.
Nothing is great too, yeah. And, yeah, the Bug, every time I think of the Bug Jar, I always think of Polar Bear Club because they have, you know, song named after the Bug Jar and stuff. But like, I've never been up that far upstate. I think the furthest I've ever been was like, I don't know, maybe Cortland. Albany or Cortland. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but
yeah, Cortland's like 25 minutes away. It's from like Syracuse is 25 minutes north. I don't know what the music scene's like now. Like, I don't know where shows are happening other than like at Lost Horizon or something of that nature, but I need to go see shows soon.
Where was the spot on Staten Island for like smaller shows?
The Muddy Cup.
The Muddy Cup
was
of,
the
of course it spot. Was. the Garbage it. Water Inn.
<Can't wait. laughs> He dunks on Staten Island every single chance he gets.
And it's mostly just funny. I played hockey on Staten Island. It's I remember passing the prison or whatever, the penitentiary.
It was, but yeah, it was the Muddy Cup. It then later transitioned to the Full Cup.
Then two girls, one cup. Like, what else they got?
just a creative bunch down there.
And then it was Dock Street. That was a big one too.
It's awesome.
A lot of good shows have come out of those venues, though, for sure.
Yo, well, listen. Shout out to the Downtown. Shout out to Revolution. Shout out Molly Blooms. Shout out, you know,
AMH.
RIP Crazy Donkey.
RIP Crazy Donkey. Backstreet Blues. I mean, there were so many great places on Long Island to see a show. And I was very fortunate to grow up in an era where there were shows all the time. And I got to see a lot of great music. So I'm very, very thankful. But I'm very, very thankful to the two of you gentlemen for coming on here and chatting a little bit of Islanders hockey and chatting about what makes us tick and the kind of music we love. Shout out Every Time I Die. That new record, Radical, is going to be the most radical record.
I've never pre-ordered a record in my life until that one. I'm all in on it.
Oh, it's so good, man. And they just released Planet Shit last week, and that is dope.
Oh my God. That was so angry.
So good. So good. I just like, I can't wait for the record to come out. I'm just so pumped for it, and I'm so pumped to
come up, go to Buffalo and come to Tid the Season.
I know. I mean, that's on my bucket list, man. I you know, Tid the Season, I hear, is just insane every year. It's funny. A bunch of my buddies from back on Long Island for his bachelor party went and did Tid the Season, I think, 2 years ago.
I was there in 2019 with Glassjaw and Wu-Tang Clan, because, of course.
Yep. I mean, look, when you're...
Those are my people.
Yeah, Staten Island.
Yeah, that's true. Those are my people. Staten Island. That's very true. That is very true. Staten Island, yeah, Wu-Tang.
We did go to high school with ODB's daughter. I do want to just throw that out on the airwaves.
I skate guarded Method Man's daughter's birthday party.
Oh my God. This is like a Spaceballs ad. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And
come on.
I'm pretty sure that Daryl Palumbo tossed a bottle of water at me once. So I guess we're all even, huh? Love it. Boys, thank you so much for doing this. I mean, like, it's always great to get to do podcasts where we just get to shoot the shit and I don't have to, like, constantly feel like if I'm not, like, saying the right things, like, some dude from some, like, prestigious punk band is, like, judging me and thinking I'm an asshole. So this is great. Every time it flows.
Wait, John's here. He's right there.
Sorry, sir.
I already did it. In our Discord, you can join a New York Islanders Discord. I have a channel already. Tommy V, and we're just gonna rip on you forever.
Do it. Rip on me as much as you want, because truthfully, like, I love all this, so I'm very, very excited about it. But here's to some hockey soon, and here's to some good shit soon. And we appreciate your insight. And I don't know, man. We'll see if Zdeno Chara's bones don't disintegrate, but. If they do,
vowel again.
Yep.
I remember one of the funniest things I remember. There was a play where Zdeno Chara was skating down the ice. I think he was back checking on a play, and the announcer was like, "Zdeno Chara is on his horse," and the color commentator goes, "Oh, that poor horse." And I was like, "Oh wow, that was great timing." It was like the comedic timing on that was just outstanding. I think about that regularly.
When it's good, it's good. But wrap it up. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you guys. Real quick, I know you did at the beginning of the episode, but just hit us again. Where can we find you guys?
Yeah, all podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, all the above. We're on every single one. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Natsman Hockey. Like we said earlier, too, with the Discord, you can join the Discord. We have all the meetup groups in there. So if you want to join, it's in our the bios and the links in our bios. So join the Discord and chat with guys and people from where you're from. You know, I think we have every single place, right, John?
I think I put every single meetup group possibly in there. There's a few that, like, there's different people chatting in there, but,
you know, it's a safe space. Come join, chat it up, you know, engage and have some fun. And I think that's it for us, right? Facebook too.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't just read off the end of our show notes. Thank you to the Hockey Podcast Network and all of you
for Manscaped for keeping it clean downstairs.
Yeah. Manscaped,
of course,
for letting us talk about testicles for like 10% of this episode. So
yeah, well, yeah. I'm gonna send us your numbers for the episode. I'll send it over to them. That's promo code NHP20.
Yeah, what are they up to the 4.0 now? What are they up to now?
The lawnmower 4.0 performance package.
Good for you guys. Well, listen, if you guys aren't using yours, send them my way. Just make sure you give it a nice little clean before you do.
Yikes.
The Hockey Podcast Network, Bar Down Breakdown. Go check it out. Check us out. We have a playlist that has a bunch of sweet music on it. Go check that out. Check it all out. Do it. If you want to listen to a professional podcast, the dudes below us, they have it. We don't. So if you want to listen to a non-professional podcast, we're the guys you want. If you want to hear the real shit, go talk to them and listen to their shit. Because
God, we are fooling everybody. This is fantastic.
Because they got it unlocked. But we appreciate you guys being on here. Let's go, Islanders. We're going to go 82-0-0 this year and just poop on everything. So hi-ya. That's all I got. Guys, thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, guys.